Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My voice is wavering, but it was worth it because I had fun with the Selection Sunday special last night. We were on for about 4 hours, breaking it all down, and that's when I first had a chance to listen to the Greg Marshall quotes that I've grown to love, and everyone else is hearing them after we played them again today, and they're making their way around Twitter, leading to back and forth between Nate Buchady and Pet because of Greg Marshall's comments. Nate arguing with Gary Lezak and Pat Forty. I'm sensing an anti-Wichita State sentiment from you, but we've known that because of heartbreak in your youth with Wichita, the city, and a woman, Greg Marshall, snapping at you. It all makes sense. I like when you dig your heels in and push back. I like it.
I think I'm making all, like, factual statements.
That's
though,
fine,
it,
but
you know?
I like it.
Yeah.
Now, I do apologize because I feel like it's going to seem like I'm trying to make Jake mad, and I'm not. All I did was report the Nick Foles to Philadelphia, to your deal.
I get it.
But you were going to come in. It looked like you were going to come in here and smack me, and I'm sorry.
It's all right, man.
It wasn't a rumor. It's a report.
I had to set myself reset and understand that you're just the messenger.
If Nate didn't see your face, so I said that it's a report.
You're just the messenger. I did want to smack you.
And so you stay here. You stay in there when I read this. Our friend Matt Miller from Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
Yep.
Heard of him. This show. Great heard friend of the
heard
show.
Heard of him.
Love his analytics on the NFL draft.
Here's a quote from a recent piece from Matt Miller that has been regurgitated by USA Today.
Okay.
A developmental quarterback is what the fans want, but a source in the Chiefs front office has told me a defensive front seven pick is more likely in round one if the Chiefs don't trade back. The quote is, "We're in a prime trade back spot, so I could see that happening too," said the source. Now I'm trying to piss myself off.
What I coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Who knows?
Don't be so focused on these quarterbacks. Don't be so focused on these stupid quarterbacks that help you win in the playoffs. It's so dumb.
Locked in on the quarterback. We've been talking about it. He's so locked in on this quarterback thing. There's a whole lot of other football players out there.
When am I going to figure out that quarterbacks just aren't that important?
Give up a couple second-round draft picks.
Not when you can get an inside linebacker. Hello, Sam Mellinger. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
That's how he's doing.
I just retweeted a Bishop Bullwinkle tweet about Nick Foles as well, by the way, which makes me happy.
Have you heard Greg Marshall's press conference yet from yesterday?
Again?
Have you listened to Greg Marshall's press conference from yesterday?
I've heard the quote. Yeah, I haven't watched the video.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Let me put Sam Mellinger on hold.
He got lost in the matrix.
He's in the swimming pool in Arizona. We're not sure why, but we'll clean that up momentarily. Perhaps he's in Arizona ready to take a close look at Salvi's knee. I'm already on edge because of that. Second MRI today. Okay. You know what? I don't like the way this segment started. All right. I feel better now. Let's go ahead and move past. There's no reason for me to talk anymore about football. I'm going to leave the football talk out of it. March Madness. Here, listen to this, Kansas City. That's my bracket. Filled out one, and it sure was fun. We'll play more Greg Marshall clips later because I can't get enough of it. And right now, Sam Mellinger rejoins us. Out of the swimming pool and back on the phone. Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'll go to the ends of the earth for a second.
Thank you. Sam.
Apparently, you need to go a little further.
Right.
We
don't know what's happening right now. Sam, let's start off with the Kansas Jayhawks, the number one seed in the Midwest region. What do you think of their draw?
That was pretty good, right?
Nope.
Not happening.
No.
Hell to the na-na-na.
Jake, say it. Say something. He's getting ready to say something.
It sounds fine when I call him.
Does it?
And then you put him on the air and it...
Oh, you're saying it's my fault?
No, I'm not. I'm saying I'll figure it out.
You know whose fault it is? Nate's.
Yeah.
And...
Greg Marshall's.
No. The selection committee.
Yes.
I definitely blame the selection committee for
this. The selection committee.
They're behind all this evil sinisterness. You know why we love to blame the selection committee, like to point fingers at them and be mad at them and blame them of all sorts of conspiracies, is because there's not like a person. It's just like a faceless group of people that we can see. It's those guys. They
have faces.
Bunch of guys in the back room, you know, with all the power, trying to stick it to Wichita State, matching them up against Kentucky again. If they were in the same bracket as Kansas, you know, they look for that Kansas-Wichita State matchup. They do that. They do that on purpose.
That's what I was rooting for.
But they do that on purpose. They're always trying to find those matchups. Don't you understand, Stephen?
I know it's outside the box. I was rooting for them to really screw Wichita State, make him a 16 seed in KU's bracket.
Oh, boy. That
would have been fun, though, right?
Yeah. No. No.
Do you think that Kansas and Iowa State will both make it to the Sweet 16 in Kansas City?
No.
Really? Who's not going to make it?
I'm afraid Iowa State's going to lose to Purdue, what I have.
Who's a tougher matchup for Kansas, Purdue or Iowa State?
I don't know.
Just right now, just what your gut tell you, who do you fear most, Purdue?
Oh, Iowa State more because they would have as much of a home court advantage as Kansas would in that game.
But the personnel that Purdue has suggests they would be the tougher matchup.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what's going to happen?
It's what they call that is pick your poison.
Right. Well, hopefully...
We've seen Iowa State beat Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse.
Hopefully, if Purdue makes it to the Sweet 16, Matt Painter doesn't decide to change his mind at the last minute and not come.
Oh, boy.
That deserves something!
I just had Sam... There you go. There's your damn rim shot.
I'll leave this
I want nothing to do with Iowa State. I want nothing,
out of an agreement.
Nothing to do with Iowa State.
I'm not bitter.
Who said I'm bitter? Go, liars.
Go Boilermakers.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I was lying about the ends of the earth thing. I just went and got a landline.
I told him Matt Painter junk, and it's still somewhat relevant.
Matt Painter jokes.
Right. They never get old, really.
No.
Yes, me. Anyway, I encourage you to listen to the full Greg Marshall press conference because it's quite entertaining and snarky. I feel like you'd appreciate it.
Just he's a little surly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely he is. So let's go to start with Kansas. Kansas, the number one seed in the Midwest region. Former producer Aaron Swartz immediately with his annual text message, boy, they sure screwed Kansas in their bracket. And everyone else feels like they got a pretty easy road. But a possible Kansas-Iowa State matchup in Kansas City for the Sweet 16, which I am hoping for. That would be wonderful. What do you think of the Midwest region?
I think KU got a pretty good draw. You know, honestly, even if you take out the advantage of playing in Tulsa and then playing in Kansas City, if you get that far, you know, I really think if you took off the one seeds and just left that line blank and let KU fans choose which bracket they wanted, I think the Midwest would win that poll. You know, I mean, I certainly think that the number two seed, and I like Louisville, and I think their size, you know, if the 1-2 matchup ends up happening, I think their size could, you know, be a little bit problematic for KU. But, you know, wouldn't you take that over, and I know they beat Duke and Kentucky, but over a matchup with them or, you know, even I love Arizona's team. Right. I think those guys are so talented. So, I mean, there's potential problems. Like Purdue's size, you know, they got a potential, probably a probable first-team All-American and, you know, starting alongside another 7-footer. And, you know, that kind of size could be a problem for KU. But, I don't know, like, at some point you have to play good teams, you know what I mean? And, you know, it doesn't look to me like any bracket is overwhelming, you know, super tough or super easy. But, you know, gosh, all things considered, I don't think KU can really complain about that draw.
You know, I agree with, you know, Mike DeCourcy came on with us and said that, if you know, everybody in the South should be mad about their bracket. Because of how many really, really good teams are in the South. I mean, you look at North Carolina, Kentucky, UCLA, as Greg Marshall, Stephen Napoli pointed out, he knew exactly how many national titles had been won between those teams, and Wichita State sitting there as a 10 seed. Like, that bracket looks really tough. Every bracket looks tough, but to me, like, none of them look as tough as the South.
Yeah, that's probably true. I kind of think UCLA is a little overrated, honestly. Like, I love watching their team, you know, go up and down, but they seem like the kind of team that if you push them around a little bit, you can beat them. But I understand the point. I understand the point, and especially if you want to get into the history and everything. And Wichita State, I hate to agree with, like, kind of the obvious, you know, Greg Marshall went off and everything, but, you know, they did get underseeded. You know, what's interesting, though, is that, you know, all of the, you know, Joe Lunardi and Jerry Palm seem to be, like, the you know, the two people that do this, you know, the most high-profile guys who do this. Lunardi had them, I think, as an 8 going into it, and Jerry Palm, who I think is better than Lunardi and probably the best of anybody that I know who does, had him as a 10. So, you know, they, I don't know, it wasn't just the committee saying, you know, let's drop them 5 spots or whatever. I mean, I do think that they probably should have been, you know, around a 6 or a 7. But if you look at their games, and look, I understand, I get the argument that nobody will play them and it's really hard for them to get games. But, you know, their best win is Illinois State, and Illinois State also beat them. You know, Wichita State beat them at home and in the conference tournament. Illinois State beat them at Illinois State. Wichita State lost to, I think, the 3, they lost to Michigan State, Louisville, and who's the other one? Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Right? Like, they went 0-3 in those games. And again, like, I have a lot of sympathy for them because it is hard for them to get teams to play them and all that. But they did have some chances, and they are in the tournament. And, you know, the whole thing, you can play your way out of a bad seed. You can't play your way into the tournament if you're left out of it. So, look, man, I feel a little bit bad for them. Again, I do think they got under siege a little bit, but I don't think this is like a tragedy that, you know, doesn't happen every year.
You're going to get sideways with Greg Marshall if you take up with Jerry Palm. He does not like Jerry Palm. He pointed out that Jerry Palm is like the 61st best bracketologist out there. So,
does he have rankings?
I don't know. Greg Marshall found.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, he found rankings somewhere that said that Jerry Palm doesn't know what he's doing, so I like that.
Good for him.
Well, Sam Mellinger is our guest. We're talking about the NCAA tournament. Okay, what about Kansas State? They are in the first 4 in a battle of 11 seeds against Wake Forest, coached by Danny Manning. The reward is moving on in the South bracket to take on Cincinnati, and that game would take place in Sacramento. What do you think of Kansas State against Wake Forest in the first 4?
Yeah, like, this is as much of a 50-50 game. These teams just seem really pretty even. I mean, in very different ways. Like, you know, Wake is, I've actually watched them more than I would most teams at that, you know, sort of bubble teams during the season. And, you know, John Collins is a monster. And that guy is going to be, you know, he's about a 6, I don't know what they list him at, probably 6'10", 6'11", something like that, power forward, and just a really terrific player. He'll be a first-round pick in the draft, and he'll be a problem for K-State, you know, especially, you know, they got DJ Johnson, and, you know, who seems to get in foul trouble more often than not, and then, you know, Isaiah Maurice after that, and you know, Wake has a lot of scorers. They can, you know, they can score from a lot of different positions, but they're not very good defensively. I was looking at this just yesterday, in their last, these are their losses going back to January 11th. I think this is like 7, their last 6 or 7 losses. They've given up 99, 99, 95, 88, 85, 81, and 93 points in those losses. So you really can't score on them. And, you know, K-State, you know, for all their limitations, and I think that, you know, when you watch teams a lot, it's natural for all of us to kind of pick apart the weaknesses a lot more than the strengths, but they are pretty good. You know, they pass the ball well, they play well together, they've got some shooters. So, you know, if they're kind of, you know, if you can find that sort of balance between patience and aggression, you know, I think Wake Forest is the kind of defense that K-State can pick apart a little bit and get a lot of open shots.
Sam Mellinger is our guest. Sam, can you come back with us for another segment?
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Will you go back in that wind tunnel you were in earlier?
don't know what was happening.
That's fine. Thank you, Sammy. We'll rejoin you here in Arizona. Sam Mellinger back with us from the Kansas City Star after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. Shane Summers helped out today. We're joined by Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star in Arizona. Sam Mellinger, a wild roller coaster ride of emotions throughout the entire weekend. A lot of it had simply to do with the Big 12 tournament and all hell breaking loose on and off the stage with Iowa State fans, but also Salvador Perez. And I'm watching this video, and I see Drew Butera and Salvi in a weird, awkward, I'm not even sure it was a collision, whatever it was, and then Salvi was hurt, and I was going to vomit because the Royals simply cannot lose Salvador Perez. Now, initial reports are that he's okay, but there is another MRI today after the swelling has subsided, and so I still have my fingers crossed. We aren't out of the woods yet, but if you would, just give me your whole reaction to what happened to Salvi in the WBC game in a tournament that I now officially despise. Thank you.
I will give you the edited version, which was, are you blanking kidding me?
Right.
Can you imagine, too, what the reaction would be like if this happened before the Royals got good? Like, if this happened in 2010, 2000, or how about 2012 when they had, like, the R time thing, you know, the reaction would be, you know, apocalyptic, you know? And of course, it's in an event that, you know, it's fun, it's entertaining, but it's, you know, kind of weird. And I don't think a lot of people, at least here in the States, like, really care who wins. It can be entertaining baseball, but you're playing in what's basically a marketing campaign for Major League Baseball, and it's your own teammate, and it didn't look, it was weird, right? Like, it, when you're watching it live, like, and even on the replays, it doesn't look terrible. Drew Butera does not, you know, like, the first time, you know, the headlines say collided with, you know, a collision at home plate, and you're expecting, like, Pete Rose and Ray Fosse or something, you know, and you know, you watch it, and Drew Butera kind of tried to pull up, and it was just more awkward than anything. And, you know, Salvador Perez limps off, and you kind of think the season's gone. I mean, he had, like, he missed, what, like, a half a season, right, when I think they called it a torn meniscus in 2011. And that happened about this time of year, actually. It was early in spring training. But, you know, look, like, he says he's fine, but Salvador Perez, I think, is always going to say he's fine. And, you know, they had the MRI that just showed inflammation, but, you know, sometimes inflammation could be hiding worse things. And I'll tell you this, the Royals are nervous. Like, they're not going to feel good until they get their own eyes on him, which I think should happen today. And, you know, even then, there's a lot of them. Dayton Moore, told me yesterday, wrote a column about this, but, you know, basically I'm not going to feel good about it until I see him out there playing, just because, you know, of how Sal is. He's always going to say he's fine, but let's see what he looks like on the field. So they don't feel like, and look, like, maybe this is just, you know, bracing yourself for the worst, but they do not feel like they're out of the woods on this yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's two different conflicting memories that one gives me comfort and one stresses me out. And the one that stresses me out is the memory of Mike Moustakas, because it was a good week before we knew he had a torn ACL. They were just calling it a contusion. The memory that gives me comfort, though, is, do you guys remember when Chesler Cuthbert and Sal collided on a pop fly last year?
I'd forgotten that until this moment, yeah.
And it seemed like Sal, like, his reaction to that play, it was like, oh, he just broke his leg. Uh-huh. You know, and it was like, it was just as dramatic, and then he turned out to be fine. So I'm hoping that maybe there's just something there where sometimes maybe Sal goes down and you think, because, like, when they were, like, carrying him off the field yesterday, you're thinking, or not yesterday, over the weekend, you're thinking, oh, man. And that's what I remember. It's like, well, maybe Maybe this will be like it was with the Chesler Cuthbert thing, and it won't be so bad, right?
Yeah, yeah, it could be. Because either way, Drew Butera is going to have a heck of a welcome back in that clubhouse. You know what I mean? Gosh, I look like it just seems like I'm sure that if we followed other teams as closely as we do the Royals, I'm sure like weird stuff like this happens to other teams too. But you know, gosh, it seems like. Of course it happened to the Royals, you know, and it seems like, of course, it was his teammate running into him and his backup and all that. It's just, gosh.
And look, we had this conversation last week because we were talking about, you know, Danny Duffy, and I was nervous about that because I get more nervous about pitchers doing over there and playing in the WBC. But, hey, I love baseball. I'm a huge rotisserie baseball nut for over two decades. I love the Royals. I can't wait till opening day. And this is before the Salvi injury. I just last week I said I don't care about the WBC. I just can't get into it. It doesn't matter to me. And the only thing I brought it up last week and I feel like I cursed the Royals. All I care about is Royals players hurry up, playing it, get back to camp without getting hurt. That's the only point to me about this thing. I don't know how other baseball fans feel. I don't feel like it's overwhelmingly popular. I don't know how you feel, Sam or Nate. I don't care, and I don't want the Royals to play in it. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you mostly. Like, I don't really care who wins. I just really don't. I know it's very important to some people, and I do think that baseball can be entertaining at times, and I guess that's what we're all after. But to me, this wasn't a WBC thing at all, you know, and I agree with you. You said you worry more about the pitchers, and I agree with you there. It's still a weird competition when guys are on pitch limits, you know, and when and not like 110 pitch limits, but like when you know you can only throw a couple innings kind of pitch limits, and you know I do think that there's kind of a mentality that goes with that, like you know when a pitcher is being told he can only throw 45 pitches. You know, whether conscious or not, that's kind of an excuse to, or at least, you know, a reason to think, okay, well, I don't have to give my all in this. You know, there's this kind of artificial limit on what I can do. And that part of the WBC is weird to me. But anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent. I don't think Sal Perez got hurt because of the WBC. You know, that could have easily happened in, you know, yesterday when they were playing the Dodgers in surprise. And, you know, because I remember the most serious injury that he's had, that meniscus that I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, that was in a spring training practice.
Yep.
You know, so, like I don't think the WBC can be blamed. I mean, I understand, like, the, you know, gosh, he got hurt there, get him out of that situation. But, you know, sometimes it's just baseball and weird things happen.
Yeah, I don't find myself, I haven't watched a full game of the WBC, so I can't sit here and claim I'm some huge fan of it. Now, I do in general really like international competitions. Obviously, I love the World Cup. It's my favorite sporting event that exists. But I do think sometimes we look at it from the American standpoint. I'll bet you people in Venezuela care a lot about it. I mean, I feel
there's no question.
Yeah, you know, like did you see Johnny Cueto's reaction the other day when like the Dominican was playing?
Yeah.
So I think other countries, I think they care a lot more about this than America, and I don't blame Major League Baseball for trying to grow the game, I guess.
No, yeah, I agree with that. Like, it is not for us.
Yeah.
You know? Like, this event is not marketed to, you know, the four of us right here. Like, you know, and that's fine. Obviously, it's aimed to, you know, spread baseball across the globe. And look, like, we can have an argument in a debate about whether it's doing that. And, yeah, I don't know what the numbers would say if, you know, more people are watching and if there's any, you know, anecdotal evidence about, you know, more kids being involved in baseball in some of the countries like Italy, for instance, you know, that they're really trying to, you know, make baseball a bigger deal. But, yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, this is not marketed for us. And, you know, as Americans, I think we're used to everything being marketed for us. And there's no question. I mean, you look, like, there's a lot of pride on the American team, right? You know, and I think we know that kind of personally in Kansas City following the Royals and how Hosmer and especially Danny Duffy talk about it. But, you know, it is different. There's no question with the DR and Venezuela and all these other countries. I mean, it is different there. So, You know, good for them. It's just not something. And it's okay if we don't like it, you know.
Right.
I'm not into it. That's fine.
No, and absolutely. If I was doing a radio show in Venezuela, I'd be all over this thing, hosting watch right. parties and everything else. But I'm going to go from the angle of Kansas City and the Royals, and yeah. I don't care. And yeah. I'm not going to pretend that I do. Sam Mellinger, before we let you go, what is your Final Four? What have you, and I'm not talking about the WBC, I'm talking about the March Madness tournament, but who is your...
Oh, you are, okay.
No,
we're not in Venezuela.
Right, have you picked the Final Four?
No, I haven't, but should we do it right now?
Yeah, on the air, let's go.
All right, in the East,
mm-hmm.
Virginia.
Oh, Tony Bennett.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm going big, guys.
I like the way you think.
In the West, Arizona, I really love their team. I said that earlier, but I love that team.
What coach sweats more than Sean Miller?
He's not a coach, but Todd Palmer. Have you ever seen Todd Palmer just like out in the wild?
He's a sweater?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. All right.
And I'd say that as a sweater.
Duly noted.
You know what I mean? Like, I have respect for that.
All right.
In the South... Kentucky's the answer, but that's boring. How about Wichita State?
Now you're talking.
I'll say Greg Marshall's chip on the shoulder thing is going to work.
Ooh, now, all boy. Of a sudden, you're talking. Whoa. This
oh,
Final
boy.
Four kicks ass.
Yeah. All right, in the Midwest, keeping with my no one seed theme.
Right. I like that theme.
I'll say Purdue.
You like Purdue? You like
on the
size.
Caleb Swanigan.
Mm-hmm. And see,
and who's their coach?
To me, again, we just hope Matt Painter doesn't agree to come to the Sweet 16 and at the last minute back out and not show up.
You know,
shut up, St. John. You know, and that I like that scenario because here we are, and Kansas fans are worried about, oh boy, Iowa State at the Sweet 16. Iowa State never makes it, and it's Purdue. Purdue was the scary team the whole time because of their size.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the one that you don't want to face at Sprint Center. You
know? Kansas fans need to be worried about Miami, Michigan State before
how about
they worry
that?
About, you know.
I told them they need to worry about UC Davis, coached mm-hmm. by Jim Less, former head coach at Bradley.
Or North Carolina Central, who has mm-hmm. already defeated the Missouri Tigers
right.
this year.
You think that really is a big feather in their cap? Does that make them scary?
Well, I mean, that's a Power 5 conference team.
Right. There we go.
By definition,
wait,
anyway.
So speaking of Missouri, I know you guys have Gabe Diarmid on sometimes. Did you hear his line about nobody thinks less of this job than Mizzou fans?
Right. That's right.
That's perfect.
It is correct. Well, I can think of a couple of people that think less of it, but I'm not going to name names. Thank you very much, Sam Mellinger. We appreciate your time. Enjoy Arizona, and please send me immediate updates on Salvi's knee as soon as you hear them, even before you report him to the Kansas City Star, okay?
I will do it immediately. Can I say one more quick thing about Greg Marshall?
Oh, please. Boy.
All right. So I think that he can get, as an act, he can get a little tired. You know what I mean? But I think that there are few coaches, and a lot of coaches try this, but I don't think there's many coaches, if at all, that are as good as he is at, you know, kind of instilling this us against the world mentality.
That's right. That is exactly right.
And I think that has to be part of what he was doing there.
Yeah,
some of it has to be manufactured, and again, a lot of coaches try it. I think Bruce Weber tries it, for instance, and I don't think he's very good at that.
No, it didn't come off right,
not at all.
But with Greg Marshall, those guys absolutely believe in it, and you know he probably believes in it too. But I think that he makes himself sound like he believes in it more than he does because he knows it works, and good for him. He's a great coach.
I'm with you. I totally agree. That's why I would offer him 7 years, $35 million to be my head coach. Thank you very much, Mr. Sam Mellinger.
All right, guys, thanks.
7 years, $35 million. It's not my money. What do I care? Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
When you're a wounded animal, how do you come? You come angry, you come...